speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
This morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of the book of John. And in John 14, verses 1 through 6, we will have the basis for our thoughts today. Jesus said to these disciples who were sorrowful over the fact that he had announced he had to leave. They were shocked and they could not believe that. In fact, he had just told them in verse 13 or 33, little children of the previous chapter, yet a little while and I'm with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye should also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not come now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee. Jesus answered, wilt thou lay down thy life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied that thou knowest me thrice. In this we find, then, the preparation for John 14. Here these disciples are shortly going to lose their Savior. He has been with them, guided, tutored, and cared for them for some 3 or 3.5 years. You know how it is to lose a close friend, and especially one whom you've been with on a daily basis. These disciples could not believe the Lord would soon leave. They thought he was going to be an earthly king. In fact, they thought it up until almost the establishment of the church. In Acts 1, or the beginning of, Acts 1, the latter part of it, and into the beginning of chapter 2, they asked the Lord, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? They still saw that kingdom as being temporal, and him being a king upon the throne. And so as they see that, they need, of course, to learn better, and the Lord does teach them better. But here you can see the shock that goes through these men. They could not stand the thought of being without their Lord. But the Lord said, I'm going to have to be leaving, and whether I go now, you can't come. They had always gone to him before. No matter where he went, they always joined him later. But here, there's going to be a separation. And this separation, Jesus assures them, will only be temporary. That leads the basis for the 14th chapter, if you read verse 1. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye may know the way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, how know we the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now he's talking about his Father's house, and he's talking about coming back for us. And he said, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and you won't be able to go to the Father except through him. So when we notice these things, who can find any place of a discourse that is so tender and so full of help for us who are still here below, waiting on the time when our Lord shall return? This is so full of weighty thoughts. It is so abounding with those things that comfort us, that allay our fears, that silence our every murmur and our every difficulty is consoled. The Lord is saying here, let not your hearts be troubled, which is our responsibility. Now, we a lot of times let our hearts be troubled. Our hearts are troubled from different areas and from different things that arise. But the Lord says, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, out of the heart cometh the issues of life, and Proverbs 4:23 says we're to keep it with all diligence. But here the Lord said, now let not your hearts be troubled. They're going to be under a great trial, a great difficulty, because their Lord is about to leave. Let not your hearts be troubled. What is the answer to letting your heart not be troubled? Here it is. He said, you believe in God. Now believe also in me. That's the way you can keep your heart still and quiet. That's where the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. So let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he tells them something that we all have an interest in. Pardon me. I got too much salt air, I think, while I was in Corpus. Pardon me. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, some of these new translations say, in my Father's house are many rooms. They think that in a house there could be only rooms. And they say in their, their stubbornness and their rebellion, why, there's a house that has rooms in it. And they, in their ignorance, think that a room in a house on a street with a number on it's what the Lord's talking about here. Well, it's not. When he said, in my Father's house, have they never heard of the house of David? Have they never heard of the house of Israel? Have they never heard of the house of Jacob or the house of Judah? Now, those were not houses on a street, friend. That was the whole domain of their existence. That was where they lived. That's what they owned. That was the great area in which they were. And so it is with the Father's house. The Father's house is his domain, his dynasty. Heaven is his home. And all that is there will allow plenty of room for mansions to be there. This word mansions is also a word that means mats or large home. It is talking about the same thing we would think about as a mansion. And so, pardon me, I'm sorry. But in this we learn that the entire place of habitation of God is called his house. So I'm not losing the fact that there are mansions there. And I do believe that we can look forward to those mansions with great anticipation. Jesus promised, in my Father's house are many mansions. The entire habitation of God. One of the poorest things that we could do would be to relegate this to a room in a house somewhere. But that's not what he's talking about. In actuality, he's talking about the palaces of kings. And so he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you. If I had come and found you cherishing a hope of life beyond the grave when I knew it wasn't true, I would have informed you of the truth of that matter. And so Jesus is saying to them, I wouldn't let you remain in deception. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, after telling them that he would be separated from them in John 13, here he is saying it won't be long. That separation will not last. It's only a temporary thing. And I'm going to come back and take you unto myself. Thomas saith unto him, and Thomas was called Doubting Thomas, my son. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know whither thou goest. Well, Jesus had said to the Jews, except ye believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. He said, whether I go, ye cannot come, because you're not able to go to the Father. But here Jesus said, whether I go, ye know the way. How did the disciples know the way? Because Jesus had taught them about the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so our only hope of going to heaven is by the very blessings of the Son of God. There was a man older in years that wrote the preacher a letter. And he said, dear preacher, next Sunday you're going to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because I have a clear title to a bit of property there and have had for over 55 years. I didn't buy it, but it was given to me by the landlord. The landlord bought it for me at a tremendous price. I don't care to sell it. As a matter of fact, the title is non-transferable. It's not just a vacant lot. For more than a half a century, I've been sending materials out of which the great architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me. It will never be remodeled or repaired, For he has assured me that it will suit me perfectly, individually, and that it will never grow old. Termites cannot undermine its foundation, for it rests upon the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it, floods cannot wash it away. I will need no locks or bolts, for no vicious person can enter the land where my home stands. My home is almost complete now, and I'm almost ready to move in. There I can live in peace eternally. I have no fear of being rejected. There is a deep valley of shadows between the place where I now live and the place where I'm going. I cannot reach the home in that city without passing through the deep valley. But I'm not afraid, because my best friend, my future landlord, went through the same valley long years ago. I have his promise in printed form that he will never leave me alone. He has stuck by me through 55 years of thick and thin, and he will be with me as I walk through this dark valley, so I shall not lose my way. I hope to hear your sermon on Sunday, preacher, but you see, I'm not sure I shall. My ticket has no date on it for that journey. And I'm not worried, though, you see. I've been ready to go for some time. I don't even have to pack a bag. And I'd like to hear your sermon Sunday, but if I'm not there, you'll know that I've been called home. Well, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And certainly expressive of the things which we think about in heaven. You know, some things that we did this morning and may do throughout the week, we won't do anymore. Well, those things that I'm talking about are not sinful things. I don't mean that. But most likely today, you have driven by a cemetery somewhere. And when you drove by that cemetery, you need to be reminded that you won't do that in heaven. Although cemeteries dot our world on every mountain, it seems, in every place, they won't be in heaven. Our loved ones who have crossed Jordan will not be buried in the silent city of the dead. For Revelation 21:4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. You know, this morning you probably turned on a light switch. You will never do that in heaven because of the fact that there is no darkness there. The glory of God will lighten it. And not only that, the Lamb is the light thereof, Revelation 21 and verse 23. And there shall be no night there, Revelation 21 and verse 25. So there would be no street lamps, there will be no night lights, there will be no candles and no light switches when you get to heaven. The light will already be there. Other things that you might do today that you will not do in heaven, you will not be faced with temptations, because all temptations there will be removed. I know that while we're here, our adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And we have to know that temptation is about us on a daily basis. Oh, how we'd like sometimes to lay the armor down and rest for a while and say, well, I don't want to defeat the devil and the enemies of the Lord today, but we can't afford not to. We have to stand fast in the faith and act like men and be strong and let all that we do be done in love. But there will be a time when we won't face those temptations. In that land where we're staking our claim, you see, the devil has no passport there. The devil's not going to be there. No, the Bible says that he will be cast down into the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 20 and verse 10. And also his helpers too, they won't be there either, because the Bible says of them, as the prophet John writes, they also shall be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 19 and verse 20. Other things that you won't do, beside not passing a cemetery or turning on a light switch, or having to turn away from temptation, is that you probably visited a sick person maybe here lately. You won't visit any sick people there. There won't be any sick people to visit. Then in heaven, you'll never do that in a hospital or a shut-in that is having pain and difficulty in this life. You see, sickness, my friends, is the result of the fall of man, and all the ill effects that have come through Adam shall be reversed in Christ, even death itself. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, sickness is a result of the fall, and John said the former things are passed away. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Another thing that you did this morning that you won't do in heaven, you locked your doors, didn't you? You had to close up your house because you don't know when the thief is coming. You don't know when the robbers may approach you. And so you locked your doors. We live in a very wicked society. Every morning we get the news of those who have been stabbed or raped or killed the night before. What a sad thing. But you know, there'll be only good news in heaven. But that's the reason we fasten our locks, secure our house, and try to make it to where those who are bad cannot enter in. But there won't be any deadbolts in heaven. Did you know that? There'll be no locks on the windows and no burglar alarms. And Revelation 21:7 says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that maketh an abomination or a lie. But he said, only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know the invitation for the Lamb's Book of Life is only the ones who shall come in this life to the Lord? And not only that, the wedding feast is by invitation only. And nobody's going to crash that party. Neither the devil nor any of his servants will be in heaven. And they will not crash the party. Well, another thing that you might not do in heaven that you're doing now, you might have seen an old person. Have you looked around anywhere and seen an old person? You want in heaven. You know, there the aging process of our loved ones will not be. There'll be no skin wrinkles. There'll be nothing there of our vision dimming or our minds going or our strength failing or our hearing weakening. Those things just won't be in heaven. The fact of the matter is, our energy will not even wane. There'll be no retirement homes in heaven. There's no nursing homes there. You won't find a single one because there are no old people. The fact of the matter is, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so we receive a new body, an incorruptible body, that shall not know sickness, nor shall it know death. There's another thing you might do today that you won't do there, and that's shed a tear. You know, hardly a day goes by that people don't shed some tears. But the Bible tells us that hardly anybody in heaven will know what tears are. In fact, they won't, because there'll be no heartaches there. There'll be no heartaches or heartbreaks, because these things will have passed away. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's what he tells us, and there shall neither be sorrow nor crying. Another thing you may have done today that you won't do there, you may have taken an aspirin. Some people have to take quite a few of these, and of course the reason being because there's a lot of pain in this world. They deal with the headaches, and they deal with the arthritis and a million other pains. But you know you won't take any aspirin in heaven. There are no drug stores up there. You don't need to make frequent trips to go to find those drugs because nobody has any sickness. John wrote in Revelation 21:4, neither shall there be any more pain. And so when we consider these things, I want to ask you something this morning. Wouldn't you like to be in a place like this? Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? That, my friends, ought to be the highest and most earnest desire of everyone around. That's our hope, isn't it? As being in Christ Jesus, we look forward to the time when we shall be able to go to heaven. Well, where is it that you want to go? You know, there's so many questions about heaven. And though the pain and the sorrow and the disunion and the tears and the disappointments and all of these things should be removed, no more death, why, it ought to cause everybody to want to go. I have an idea that if I could find an island somewhere in the far away, on this earth, where one of these things was, just one, that everybody would want to go there, wouldn't you? If you could have an island where there would never be any pain, wouldn't you be willing to sell everything in order to be there? I tell you, I would. Or where there was no sorrow or no death. Well, you'd sacrifice everything to go. Well, let me tell you, my friends, that there is a place called heaven where those things won't be. And the Lord tells us about it. Now, isn't it strange here that some people say, can I go to heaven? Well, you need the answer to that, don't you? And they ask the question, well, what's heaven going to be like? And they ask a question, well, what are we going to do in heaven? And all of these questions have answers in the Word of God. And So let us search out these things. When Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled," He was promising something to all seekers. Did you know it? In my Father's house are many mansions. How many? As many as are needful. One lady told me one time that heaven was full and you couldn't have any more people in heaven. That's not true. Heaven is not full. Heaven still has as many mansions as are necessary for people who want to go. And friend, if you desire to go, you can still be there. Now, isn't it strange that our Lord was thinking of consoling these disciples when just before Him was Gethsemane? Just before Him was the betrayal by Judas? Just before Him was the denial by Peter? And the mock trials? And the slapping and the spitting of those who hated Him? And the scourgings? And the cross? And yet our Lord thinks of love. He's interested in these disciples. He doesn't ask for comfort, but He gives it. And in Acts 20:35, Paul, in remembering those things, said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus." How did he say it? "It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." Now, the fact that the Lord loved them means that He was concerned and interested in them at all times. And we ought to love one another. We ought to be concerned and interested in each other at all times. Did you know there are three heavens spoken of in the Bible? I'm sure you must have. But the first heaven is where the birds fly, and it's the air that we breathe. Jesus said in Matthew 6:26, "Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye of not much more value than they?" And then in Matthew 8:20, when the scribe came to the Lord and said, "I'll follow thee, but I've got this and this and this to do," the Lord reminded him that the foxes have holes and the birds of the heavens have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So it might not be easy to follow the Lord, but it'll be worth it if you want to go to heaven. Now in this, we learn the first heaven, though, is where the birds fly. The second heaven is called the firmament. In Genesis 1:17, it says, "God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." Well, way back there, we find the Lord decreed and ordered these things, and it says He set them. He set these in the firmament of heaven. We've not known much about that until just recent years. There have been men who have flown up into those heavens, and they have seen the firmament. They have seen the place that God prepared outside of where the birds fly. And outside of the breath, we're able to breathe. They're weightless out there. We learn a lot more than we've ever known, don't we, about the second heaven. But then the third heaven, and the reason I call it the third is because that's what Paul calls it. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, he said, "I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or whether out of the body I know not, God knoweth." He said, "For such a one was caught up into the third heaven." And so I realized there are three. And in noticing this, I don't know whether this was the time at Lystra when Paul was stoned and left outside the city for dead, or whether it might have been his second visit to Jerusalem in Acts 22. We're not really sure about that, but we do know that Paul was either in the body or out of the body when he was allowed to go and see the beauties of heaven. Now, he did not come back and tell us about it. He said it was unlawful for him to tell those things. There are some who claim to have gone to heaven. Mary Baker Eddy claimed she went to heaven. And she came back to tell us all about it. She didn't tell us anything because she didn't go in the first place. But there are three heavens. I do learn in 1 Peter 3:21, where the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Jesus went to heaven after His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what He told His disciples. "Now, whether I go now, you're not able to come. But later you will be able to come." So, I know that Jesus went far above all heavens because Ephesians 4:30 says so. Or 4:10, excuse me. Ephesians 4:10. "He who descended is also he that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." So here we find some very interesting things about heaven. I do know that the last one mentioned is the one that is God's home, and the one we're really interested in. And the one that Abraham said in Hebrews 11:10, that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. So there is a heaven there. And that heaven is real. It's not a make-believe. There is such a place. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. So this allusion to the palaces of kings is certainly of great interest to us today. There was a celebrity who flew back into an airport in our nation. And just before him, before his arrival, the bands gathered and everyone shouted, and all of them were so happy for his return. There was an old gospel preacher that was on that plane also. And when the gospel preacher got off, there were no bands. There was nobody there when he returned from the missionary work that he had done. And he commented to somebody, you know, it's kind of shameful that on earth here are these ones who are making a living by worldliness, and people are raving and playing the bands for them, and yet no one is even here to greet me. And someone said to him, but preacher, you've forgotten something. He said, what's that? He said, you're not home yet. Now that man was home on the earth, but the preacher wasn't home. There was yet a place for him to go. There's heaven, and that's quite a resting place, and it's a wonderful place. So when we think about heaven, we understand what a joy it is to make our preparation to go. Well, when someone asks, what will heaven be like, what do you say? Well, we don't know a lot of things about it. We do know what the Bible says. If you went to Mars and you came back, how would you tell people about it? Well, they've never been to Mars. So you would have to explain it, would you not, in terms of this earth that they would understand. You would have to say there's some things there like rocks. Well, it's probably not rocks, but at any rate, it's like rocks on the earth are. And so you explain it in language that they understand. Well, that's the way the Bible does us about heaven. It says there's a street of gold there, and that it's as transparent glass. It says that in heaven there are walls there that have gates of pearl. And these are made of all different beautiful stones. It says the water of life is there, the tree of life is there. It says that people will not sorrow nor pain nor have any more death there. The former things are all passed away, and so I like to think about what heaven's going to be like, don't you? Well, I know it's called a home, too. In my Father's house, or my Father's home, there are many mansions. Well, what do you expect a home to be here? Well, I expect a home to be a place of rest, don't you? Isn't it great after a hard day of work, we can go home? And that's a place of rest. That's the place where we can relax and where we can enjoy the privileges and the blessings of home. Be it ever so humble, one man said, there's just no place like home. No matter how far we may travel, Maggie and I always love to come home. And you know that's true, because it's a place of rest. Well, the Bible speaks of an eternal rest. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in verse 1, he said, let us fear, lest happily a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. He said in verse 8 through 11, there remaineth therefore rest for the people of God, and that's an eternal rest. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, he said, I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, for they shall rest. They will rest from their labors, and their works follow after them. Oh, I know many people who have come to the close of life, and they've been through all the pains and the difficulties and the heartaches of life, and they say, I'd just like to rest. Well, that's what heaven's going to be. That's what you expect a home here to be, and that's what our home there will be. And it'll be a place of peace. There'll be no discord there. In Mark 9 and verse 50, he said, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall you season with it? Have salt in yourselves, he said, and be at peace one with another. Be a blessing to one another. Have no party spirit. Do not try to divide up into small segments, but always walk in truth for unity's sake. Be at peace. You know, that's a wonderful blessing here. Some people don't enjoy peace, though. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 and 12, there he talks about knowing them that have the rule over us and esteeming them highly in love for their work's sake. And he said, be at peace among yourselves. Hebrews 12 and verse 14, follow after peace, he said, with all men, the sanctification without which no man's going to see the Lord. So if you don't love peace here and you don't strive for peace here, you wouldn't enjoy heaven if you went there. I know a lot of people who would not enjoy it at all. But Romans 12 and verse 18 says, be at peace as much as is possible with all men. And so it's a place of rest, a place of peace. But third of all, it's a place of happiness. You know, we find it pictured as songs around the throne of God. And that's a place of happiness. I can remember with great joy, through the years, my father holding meetings and preaching in different places, everywhere we went, we sang. The car would rock and roll with it, I suppose you might say. But we enjoyed that, and I still remember those songs. And I still did that with my family. We sing when we're together, Christmas time or Easter or whenever. We sing. And you know, loving the singing that is here is something that will be going further in heaven. Now, there won't be any preaching there that I know of, but there will be singing. No, all the preaching will be done by that time, but they're still singing. That's a place of song and a place of joy because we're all one around the throne of God. But you know, if you don't enjoy that here, you wouldn't enjoy heaven. So really, there's no need for you to strive to go to heaven unless you want a place of rest and a place of peace and a place of happiness and joy. But I trust that is what you want. I trust that you do want to be where God is and where Christ is, and that's in the Father's house. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. So I'm telling you this morning that there's not another way, there's not a thousand ways for you to go to heaven. There's one way, and that's the Lord. But you've got to put the Lord on in order to go to heaven. He said, as many as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That means they put on His life, they have taken Him as their Savior, and as their ruler. You can't call Him Lord and not call Him Savior. But you can't call Him Savior and not call Him Lord. You have to do the things the Lord commands. So if you've heard His word, do you believe it? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ and be baptized into Christ to wash away your sins? If you are, that's the way. That is the truth. And He brings you into the life because we are buried with Him in baptism and we're raised to walk with Him in newness of life. And we start our trek toward heaven, the place of rest, the place of peace, the place of happiness and joy where there is no discord. And my friend, I don't know whether you know of another place like this or not, but I don't. And I think it is very much important for us to see it and to make our plans to go there. Did you ever plan a trip? Boy, getting ready is half the enjoyment, isn't it? You get everything clean, you get everything together, you put it all in the right place, because you're going on a trip. There are a lot of people, if they're going to heaven, they don't seem to be making any plans. They've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. They've not kept themselves in the love of God. If you're going to heaven, friend, make your plans. And maybe this morning may be the time that you need to make them. We're going to sing to encourage you if we can help you in helping you to obey the gospel or to be restored to the favor of God so you can go to heaven. We're going to encourage you to come. Will you come? Or to